Lord Peter Wimsey. Starring Ian Carmichael as Lord Peter and Peter Jones as Bunter, with Gabriel Wolfe as Inspector Parker. Unnatural Death by Dorothy L. Sayers, adapted in 7 episodes by Chris Miller. Episode 3, The Will. Lord Peter Wimsey is investigating the death, 18 months previously, of Miss Agatha Dawson. Since his inquiries began, one of her former maids, Bertha Gotobed, has been found dead in Epping Forest. Now, with the arrival from Canada of the other maid, Bertha's sister Evelyn, not due till the following day, Lord Peter decides to pursue a somewhat different line of investigation.
Bunter, what is the proper suit to put on when one is an expectant father?
I regret, my lord, to have seen no recent fashions in paternity wear. I should say, my lord, whichever suit your lordship fancies will induce a calm and cheerful frame of mind in the lady.
Unfortunately, I don't know the lady. She is, in fact, only the figment of my over-teeming brain.
My lord?
I'm going to pay a visit on Nurse Forbes, Bunter. Nurse Forbes was Miss Dawson's last nurse, and I wish to discover from her whether at any time Miss Dawson changed her mind about making a will.
My lord?
Well, that would have given her niece Mary Whittaker a motive for murdering her, you see, if she thought that she was about to be disinherited. However, I don't wish Nurse Forbes to suspect that I'm prying, so I must have a good reason for visiting her. And since I am reliably informed that under no circumstances does she undertake maternity work, a maternity work is precisely what I intend to ask her to undertake. So I think that this morning's garments should express bright hope, self-congratulation, and a tinge of tender anxiety. What?
Ah, yes, my lord, a newly married situation. I would suggest a lounge suit in pale grey, the willow pussy cloth, my lord, with a dull amethyst tie and socks and a soft hat. I would not recommend a bowler, my lord. The anxiety expressed in a bowler hat would be rather of the financial kind.
No doubt you're right, Bunter. And I will wear those gloves that got so unfortunately soiled yesterday at Charing Cross. I'm too agitated to worry about a clean pair.
Very good, my lord.
No stick, perhaps.
Subject to your lordship's better judgment, I should suggest that a stick may be suitably handled to express emotion.
You are always right, Bunter. Call me a taxi and tell the man to drive to Tooting Common.
I'm extremely sorry, Mr. Sims Gaythorpe, but I never undertake maternity work. Whoever gave you my name misled you, I'm afraid.
Well, you know, I can't really say I was misled, Miss Forbes. Miss Murgatroyd, you know Miss Murgatroyd of Lee Hampton, I think. Yes, well, she... Well, that is to say, I heard about you through her, and she did say that she was afraid you didn't do maternity work. Still, I thought it was worth trying, what? My wife's highly nervous, naturally, first effort and all that, and Miss Murgatroyd had told me what a charming and efficient person you were.
Oh, that was very kind of Miss Murgatroyd. Tell me, do you know her well? Such a delightful woman, isn't she?
Oh, rather. She was very much impressed by your sympathetic way of nursing that poor old lady, Miss Dawson, don't you know? Distant connection of my own, as a matter of fact. Somewhere about 15th cousin, 12 times removed. Charming old lady, didn't you think?
Oh, indeed. I became very much attached to Miss Dawson. She was a most pleasant and thoughtful patient.
Ah, yes, dear, dear old soul. But all that fuss after she died was simply shocking, don't you agree? I mean, the doctor insisted on a post-mortem, and well, just because she'd annoyed him by popping off earlier than he'd predicted.
Oh, it was very distressing to everybody concerned, Mr. Sims Gaythorpe.
Yes. Did it ever occur to you, nurse, that there might be something behind all that? You know, there have been cases of doctors trying to get rich old ladies to make wills in their favour. You don't think that...
Oh, it's not my business to think things like that.
No. No, no, of course not. Well, certainly not. But as man to man... No, I'm sorry. I mean between you and me, what? wasn't there a little, friction, perhaps, about sending for the solicitor, Johnny, don't you know? Of course, my cousin Mary... Oh, well, I'm I mean, I call her cousin, but it's actually no relation at all, really. I mean, she's an awfully nice girl and all that sort of thing, but, well, I got a sort of idea perhaps she wasn't altogether keen on having the will making Waller sent for, what?
Oh, Mr. Sims Gaythorpe, I'm sure you're quite wrong there. Miss Whittaker was most anxious that her aunt should have every facility in that way. In fact, and I'm only telling you all this as you're one of the family, you understand, she said to me, if at any time Miss Dawson should express a wish to see a lawyer, be sure you send for him at once.
And did you?
I did not. Miss Dawson never asked me to. She didn't want to die, you see, or even think about it. She said to me once or twice, I'm not going to die to please anybody, nurse. So, of course, she had no great enthusiasm for making a will either. But had she ever wished it, she had ample opportunity to do so.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, Miss Forbes. These little doubts are so apt to make unpleasantnesses in families, what?
Oh, I quite understand.
Well, I'll be toddling off now. I'm uncommonly sorry you can't come to us, nurse. My wife will be disappointed. I must try to find somebody else equally charming, if that is possible. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mr. Sims Gaythorpe.
Bracing, the Liverpool air, ain't it, Bubbles?
Yeah, it certainly is, Lord Peter.
Good for you to get out of that stuffy old solicitor's office for one day. Especially as you'll be meeting an attractive young woman in a few minutes.
Yes, Lord Peter.
Have you got that letter of introduction from Mrs. Gulliver?
Yeah.
Splendid. I'm looking forward to making the acquaintance of Mrs. Evelyn Cropper. Nay, go to bed. I think she may have something very interesting to tell us about Mary Whittaker. Ah, there's Bunter waving. I think he spotted her. Come along, Bubbles. Let's go and introduce ourselves, shall we?
Yours affectionately, Dorcas Gulliver. I see. Well, I'm sure you're a proper gentleman if Mrs. Gulliver answers for you, for I've never known her mistaken in a person yet. So you're the Mr. Murables has put that advertisement in the paper, saying Bertha and me should contact you to hear something to our advantage.
I am indeed, Mrs. Cropper.
I got a letter from Bertha just before I sailed, enclosing a copy, and I couldn't make anything of it.
Perhaps I should explain, Mrs. Cropper. It was I who placed the advertisement. Old Murbles here was no more than a postbox, really. If you will excuse me calling you that, Murbles.
Oh, my lord.
I simply wanted to ask you and your sister a few questions about your service in Leehampton.
With Miss Whittaker, you mean?
Precisely. Naturally, I did not foresee that your sister would be found dead in Epping Forest before the week was out. Most distressing occurrence, and I assure you of our heartfelt sympathy.
Well, thank you.
Yes, shocking business, Mrs. Cropper, quite shocking. But as to whether it was a coincidence or something more sinister, we cannot, of course, at the moment say.
You mean it might have been murder?
There was a verdict of natural death at the inquiry, but Lord Peter feels that your sister may have got into some sort of trouble the night she died.
Now, wait. There's one thing, sir. Your lordship, I suppose I should say. Bertha was a real good girl. I can answer for that absolutely. There wouldn't have been any carryings on with her young man. Nothing of that.
No, we're not thinking that at all, Mrs. Cropper, I assure you. But we have evidence that she visited a lady called Mrs. Forrest in South Audley Street that night. There was a dinner party involving a gentleman, and we thought it possible that after dinner said gentleman might have made undesirable overtures and all that, and your sister, being a virtuous young woman, as you say, might have had a shock, and what with her weak heart, you know, collapsed. Tell me, was she cautious and up to the tricks of London people?
Well, my lord, I wouldn't say Bertha was a particular quick girl, but I'd warned her very careful against taking up with women as talks to a girl in the street. And she did ought to have been on her guard, because I...
What is it, Mrs. Cropper? Did you think you recognised somebody?
Hey, you're a noticing one, aren't you? Make a good waiter, you would. Not meaning any offence, my lord. That's a real compliment from one who knows. Yes, I did think I saw someone. Oh, but it couldn't be, because the minute she caught my eye, she went away.
Who did you think it was?
Why, I thought it looked like Miss Whittaker. She was just down by that pillar there, in a crimson hat and a grey fur. But she's gone now.
Murbles, could you see Mrs. Cropper to the train and I'll join you immediately? Excuse me.
Very good, Lord Peter. Mrs. Cropper, allow me to offer you my arm.
Why, thank you, Mr. Murbles.
Now, where's Bunter? Bunter? Ah, there you are.
Yes, my lord.
But I want you to follow a lady.
My lord?
Oh, look, just to see where she goes, old lad, that's all. Look, there she is. See her now, right over there. That tall, dark woman in the grey fur and the crimson hat. Off you go, quick.
My lord, if you could possibly see your way to relieving me of Mrs. Cropper's suitcases, it would greatly improve my chances of keeping up with the lady in the crimson hat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very well, Bunter, very well.
Thank you, my lord.
I think your friends missed the train, Mr. Marrables. Lord Peter, I mean. We've been going nearly a quarter of an hour now.
Well, that would be very unlike him. Very unlike him indeed. Ah, yes, here he is.
No sign of her on the train, Marrables. I've been up and down twice. Thought I'd check in case she'd eluded Bunter, but not a single dark woman in a crimson hat throughout. Oh, your suitcases are in the guard's van, by the way, Mrs. Cropper, so don't worry about them.
Thank you, my lord.
Now then, let's get down to business. Concerning Miss Whittaker.
Yes, my lord.
I wonder if you would mind telling us exactly why you left her service.
Why?
Mrs. Gulliver told us it was because Bertha broke a teapot, you see. But it struck us that it was, shall we say, somewhat rash of Miss Whittaker to dismiss so competent, and if I may put it so, such a well-spoken and personable pair of maids on so trivial a pretext.
Ah, well, you're right there, sir. Bertha was quite ready to believe her she'd done wrong. But I said, mark my words, I said, Miss Whittaker don't care to have us in the house after the row she had with the old lady.
And what row was that?
Well, I'll tell you. Yes, I don't see why I shouldn't. One morning, early in September, Miss Whittaker comes along to Bertha and I and says, I want you girls to be just handy on the landing outside Miss Dawson's bedroom, she says, because I may want you to come in and witness her signature to a document. We shall want two witnesses, she says, and you'll have to see her sign. But I don't want to flurry her with a lot of people in the room, so when I give you the tip, I want you to come just inside the door without making a noise, so that you can see her write her name. And then I'll bring it straight across to you, and you can write your names where I show you. Well, we said we didn't mind. So Miss Whittaker goes upstairs to Miss Dawson with a whole heap of papers, and Bertha and I followed and waited on the landing, like she said.
I see. Hey, carry on.
Well, my lord, when Bertha and me had been waiting a little time, Miss Whittaker comes to the door and makes us a sign to come in quiet. So he comes and stands just inside the door. There was a screen in front of the bed, so we couldn't see Miss Dawson, nor she us. But we could see her reflection quite well in a big looking glass she had on the left side of the bed.
Very interesting, eh, Marrables? Mm. Now, Mrs. Cropper, be sure you tell us every detail, no matter how small and silly it may sound. I believe this is going to be very exciting.
Yes, my lord. Well, there wasn't much else. Except that just inside the door, on the left-hand side as you went in, there was a little table with a piece of blotting paper on it and an inkstand and a pen, all ready for us to sign with.
Now, could Miss Dawson see that?
No, sir, because of the screen.
But it was inside the room.
Oh, yes, sir.
I'm sure it was. You notice, Lord Peter, the careful arrangement to have the document signed in the presence of the witnesses and witnessed by them in the presence of Miss Dawson and of each other. I needn't tell you for what kind of document that arrangement is indispensable.
No, Marrables, you need not. Pray continue, Mrs. Cropper.
Well, my lord, we saw Miss Dawson write her name to one or two papers, and then Miss Whittaker puts another lot in front of her and says, here's another little lot, Auntie. Some more of those income tax forms. The papers were all laid on top of each other, with just the places for the signature left showing. So Miss Dawson signs the top one and then lifts up the paper and looks underneath at the next one. And Miss Whittaker says they're all the same, as if she was in a hurry to get them signed and done with. But Miss Dawson starts looking through them, and suddenly she lets out a screech and says, I won't have it! I won't have it! I'm not dying yet! How dare you, you wicked girl! Can't you wait till I'm dead? And Miss Whittaker says, hush, Auntie, you won't let me explain. And the old lady says, no, I won't. I don't want to hear anything about it. And she begins to take and carry on dreadful. And Miss Whittaker comes over to us looking awful white and says, run along, you girls. My aunt's taken ill and can't attend to business. It's just the pain come on again. I'll give an injection and then she'll be all right. And she pushes us out the room and shuts the door.
A little scene after your own heart, Marrables, hmm? Have you told this story to anybody else, Mrs. Cropper?
Why, no, my lord. Miss Whittaker asked us not to mention it to anyone in the Hampton, like, them being such a gossipy crowd. And I wouldn't have said anything now, even. Only I can't see how it can do any harm, telling you gentlemen.
Well, if you take my advice, Mrs. Cropper, you won't tell it again. Stories like that have a nasty way of being dangerous. Would you consider it an impertinence if I asked you what your plans are while you're in England?
I'm going to see Mother and get her to come back to Canada with me. She's got no one now, Bertha having gone so dreadfully sudden.
I'll drive you down to your mother's. And while you're here, I think I'll send a friend to look after you both until you're safe on the boat back again. I advise you not to stop long in England, Mrs. Cropper.
But...
Excuse me butting in on your affairs and all that, but honestly, I think you would be safer elsewhere.
You don't think that anyone's...
I don't like to say quite what I think, Mrs. Cropper, because I don't know. But I'll see that you and your mother are safe, whatever happens. Bunter? Bunter, is that you?
Good evening, my lord.
Ah, Bunter. Any luck?
I regret exceedingly to have to inform your lordship that I lost track of the lady. In fact, if your lordship will kindly excuse the expression, I was completely done in the eye.
Well, thank heavens, Bunter, you're human after all. I didn't know anybody could do you. Have a drink?
Oh, I'm much obliged to your lordship. Excuse me one moment, my lord. Mayfair 0299, Lord Peter Wimsey's residence. Good evening, sir. Certainly, sir. Detective Inspector Parker, my lord.
Thank you, Bunter. Charles.
Evening, Peter. Look, I'm at the yard, and I've just had a call from our friend in South Audley Street.
Mrs. Forrest?
Yes. She wants to write to you. Well, I wouldn't give the address, but I've given her your number, so if she calls and asks for Mr. Templeton, you will remember who you are, won't you?
I shouldn't think so for a minute, old thing. I made that story up on the spur of the moment. Who the devil am I?
Your name is Templeton. You're the cousin of Sylvia Lyndhurst, who suspects her husband, Major Lyndhurst, of having been with Mrs. Forrest on the night of the 27th. And you called round the other evening with me to satisfy yourself that cousin Sylvia's suspicions were groundless.
Oh, well, righty-ho, if you say so. Wonder what the fair lady wants.
Improve her story, I expect. She must have realized we suspect her complicity in the death of Bertha Gotobed, and she wants to try out a few amendments on you.
Then she'll probably give herself away. The rough sketch is frequently so much more convincing than the worked-up canvas.
Quite so. Anyway, you deal with the matter. I'm busy, all right? Cheer.
Oh, Charles! Charles, look in at breakfast time tomorrow, will you? I've got a lot to tell you.
Righto. Bye.
Now, Bunter, tell me all, however much it hurts.
Well, my lord, according to instructions, I began to pursue the lady who was on her way towards the big bookstall by the station entrance. She was some way ahead of me, but the hat was very conspicuous, and in the words of the poet, if I may so express myself, I followed the gleam.
Stout fella.
Thank you, my lord. The lady walked into this station hotel, which, as you know, has two entrances, one upon the platform and the other upon the street. I hurried after her for fear she should give me the slip, and made my way through the revolving doors just in time to see her back disappearing into the lady's retiring room.
Whither, as a modest man, you could not follow. I quite understand.
Quite so, my lord. I took a seat in the entrance hall in a position from which I could watch the door without appearing to do so.
And discovered too late that the place had two exits, I suppose. Oh, dear. Unusual and distressing.
No, my lord, that was not the trouble. I sat watching for 3/4 of an hour, but the crimson hat did not reappear. Your lordship will bear in mind that I'd never seen the lady's face.
Now, I foresee the end of this story, Bunter. Not your fault. Proceed.
At the end of this time, my lord, I felt bound to conclude either that the lady had been taken ill or that something untoward had occurred. I summoned a female attendant and informed her that I had been entrusted with a message for a lady whose dress I described. I begged her to ascertain from the attendant in the lady's room whether the lady in question was still there. The girl went away, presently returned to say that the lady had changed her costume in the cloakroom and had gone out 30 minutes previously.
Oh, Bunter, Bunter! Didn't you spot the suitcase or whatever it was she was carrying?
Excuse me, my lord, she wasn't carrying one when she went in. But earlier in the day, she had left an attaché case in charge of the attendant. On returning, she had transferred her hat and fur to this attaché case and put on a small black felt hat and a lightweight raincoat. so that her dress was concealed when she emerged and she was carrying the attaché case, whereas, when I first saw her, she had been empty-handed.
Everything foreseen. What a woman.
I made immediate inquiries, my lord, in the region of the hotel and the station, but without result. The black hat and raincoat were entirely inconspicuous, and no one remembered having seen her. I went to the central station to discover if she'd travelled by any train. Several women answering to the description had taken tickets for various destinations. I also visited all the garages in Liverpool with the same lack of success. I'm greatly distressed to have failed your lordship.
Never mind, Bunter. Can't be helped. You did everything you could. Cheer up, never say die. You must be tired to death. Take the evening off and go to bed.
I thank your lordship, but I slept excellently in the train on the way up.
Yeah, just as you like, Bunter. But I did hope you sometimes got tired like other people. All right, I'll answer, Bunter.
Very good, my lord.
Yes?
Oh, hello. Is that Mr. Templeton?
Speak him. Yes. Who's that, please?
Muriel Forrest here. You remember me, Mr. Templeton? Cahoon Mansions, South Audley Street.
Oh, yes. Mrs. Forrest.
Mr. Templeton, I have something I wish to tell you, but as it's extremely confidential, I wonder if you'd mind coming round to my flat in about an hour's time. Mr. Templeton, thank you so much for coming round. I do apologise for dragging you out at this time of night and for asking you to be so secretive about it, but it is absolutely essential my husband doesn't learn of your visit. I'm in the middle of divorcing him, you know.
Yes, you said.
So I did. And now you'll be wondering what I have to say to you. Do come and sit on the sofa. Will you have whiskey or coffee?
Coffee, please.
The fact is, I've been thinking about your poor cousin,
Sylvia.
Quite so. You see, I know exactly how she feels, always having to wonder where one's husband is. And though, as I told you, Major...
Lyndhurst.
Major Lyndhurst certainly wasn't here that night. Well, it so happens that, out of interest, I mentioned your inquiries in a letter to my... friend, the gentleman who was here.
Yes?
Well, I got a reply today, and it rather surprised me. He reminded me that after dinner he'd opened the window, that one there which overlooks the street, and had noticed a car outside. And while he was idly looking at it, he saw a man and a woman come out of this block of flats, not this door, but one or two along to the left, and get in and drive off. The man was in evening dress, and he thought it might have been your cousin's husband.
I say, really? Was the girl in evening dress, too?
No. That struck my friend particularly. She was in just a little dark suit with a hat on.
Well, that is very interesting.
One other thing. He said the man's arm was round the girl as though she was feeling tired or unwell, and he heard him say, "That's right, the fresh air will do you good." But you're not drinking your coffee, Mr. Templeton.
I beg your pardon? Oh, sorry, I was dreaming, putting two and two together, as you might say. Yes, coffee. Do you mind if I put this away and have some without sugar?
I'm so sorry. Men always seem to take sugar in black coffee. Never mind, I have another cup here. That's all I had to tell you, really, but I thought perhaps I ought to let you know.
It was very good of you, Mrs. Forrest.
Why don't you come and sit down?
Well, thank you. And I don't want to be beastly rude and so forth, but I think I really must toddle now, what? Getting late, don't you know, and, yes. Where's my hat?
Mr. Templeton?
Yes?
Don't go yet. I get so lonely these long summer evenings.
Charles, I assure you she was trying to get me to make love to her and to stay the night.
In order to be able to blackmail you later?
I think so, yes. The one thing I do know, her motive certainly wasn't pleasure. There was no desire in Mrs. Forrest's approaches, Charles. None at all.
Really?
And no experience either. Of course, the alternative is that Mrs. Forrest is an accomplice of Miss Whittaker's.
What? What do you think, Dan?
Well, it's perfectly possible. Why was Miss Whittaker in Liverpool? Obviously to get hold of Evelyn Cropper before anyone else and stop her mouth, no doubt, by bribery. Unfortunately for her, I got there first, and so, as soon as she recognised me, I do have a confoundedly well-known face, she disappeared into thin air. No doubt she then telephoned Mrs. Forrest in London and instructed her to neutralise me forthwith, before I could pass on Mrs. Cropper's story to anybody else.
Yes. I still don't quite understand the significance of that story, I must say. Oh, well, Miss Whittaker tried to get her aunt to sign a will without knowing it. I see that. But why? We've asked ourselves this before. As next of kin, indeed her only living relative, Mary Whittaker was bound to inherit everything anyway. In fact, she did. So why bother about a will?
Why, indeed? Well, unless... Charles? Oh, Lord! Well, that is it, old son.
What?
Well, the old, old story, beloved of novelists, The Missing Heir.
Good Lord. Yes, you're right. Oh, damn it all, what fools we were not to think of it before. Mary Whittaker obviously found out there was some nearer relative left to scoop the lot.
Well, of course!
Wait a minute, Peter. I mean, why hasn't this hypothetical missing heir brought forward any claim to the property?
He doesn't know that the old lady's dead. On his distant farm in Thingamajig, poor old cousin Tom... Great Scott, that reminds me, a letter from Miss Clemson this morning. I only glanced at it. Now, where is it? It had a lot in it about Dawson and Whittaker families and how they were connected. And I have a suspicion that there was a cousin in some godforsaken spot. Yes. Yes, look, here it is. Cousin Hallelujah. Hallelujah?
In that episode of Unnatural Death, the parts were played as follows. Lord Peter Wimsey, Ian Carmichael. Bunter, Peter Jones. Inspector Parker, Gabriel Wolfe. Mr. Merbles, Malcolm Hayes. Mrs. Forrest, Bridget McConnell. Nurse Forbes, Sheila Wilcox. Evelyn Gotobed, Alison Skilbeck. The Will was adapted by Chris Miller from the book Unnatural Death by Dorothy L. Sayers. The programme was produced by Simon Brett.